is that the devil does not want a believer to operate in the gifts of God, because it is the gifts of God that become a threat. That is the supernatural ability, that is the ability of God implanted in a man. And I showed you the gifts of Moses. Then we saw what is the gift of God. It's the gift of God enables one to operate and function beyond their human abilities and intellectual for the glory of God and for the purposes of God. God advances his kingdom and fights the devil by giving authority and gifts to men. If you want to survive, you need to be gifted by God. You need to receive authority from him. You need to receive power from him. So every believer is eligible. Every believer is gifted. Hallelujah. We see that in the book of Ephesians, that when he ascended on high, he released gifts to men. That's why he said, I am going to the Father, and it is better that I go, so that the helper can be sent. And the gifts that are released on us is through his Spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit. So through the Holy Spirit, the gifts are released. And tonight we are on the New Testament. I showed you from the Old Testament how the servants of God operated in different gifts. But when we come to the New Testament, we realize that we are supposed to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has distributed, one Spirit has distributed different gifts in the body of Christ. But what I told you, that operating in the gifts of God or the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not easy, because the enemy attacks you. And we spoke about the several categories of attacks through which the enemy attacks a believer when you start to use your gifts. So many believers operated in the gifts, but when they started to use their gift, they were attacked in several ways, mentally, physically, emotionally. And some of them thought, okay, my gifts are of no use. Some of them thought, maybe my gifts, it's not gifts, it's just my mind. And through such attacks, that the conviction of the gifts they have was damaged. So they stopped using their gifts. Some of them don't use their gifts because they don't know that they have gifts. They don't know that the Bible says that every believer is gifted. Every believer in the body of Christ. If you are a part of the body of Christ, the head has given you a function. The head has given you the gift. Jesus has gifted you. Every person in their measure of the grace given to them is gifted. Peter talks about it. We will come to that at the end. Romans, the book of Romans talk about it, that you need to minister to each other. If the gift of teaching, then through the gift of teaching. If through the gift of encouragement, then through the gift of encouragement. So in the body of Christ, the apostles have said that people need to minister to each other with the gifts that they have in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? But the devil attacks people when they start using their gifts. He does not want the people, he wants a believer to stay as an average believer operating in the flesh, operating in the realm of the physical. He does not want a believer to step into the supernatural. But God wants to tell you that you have to work in the supernatural. You have to work in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, so that you will have a dominion over the kingdom of darkness and walk in victory. So that's why God wants every believer to walk and function in the supernatural ability of God. That only happens through when God gives you the gift. Hallelujah. Okay, so let us start off. Where I ended was the fourth category of attack. So I ended on the attack. So one of the attacks that the enemy will launch against a person who is using the gift is, the enemy will challenge you and try to copy to show you that what you do, they can also do. There will be a competition. Okay, well, what you are doing, already we are doing. There is nothing unique. That is where I ended last meeting. That was the last category of the attack against the gift of God in your life. So what did I say? They will launch an attack against you to show you what you are doing, we can also do. And we see that in the book of Exodus, chapter number 7 and chapter number 8, when you read that, I don't have time. Last time we saw that already, where when Moses went and he threw the rod, it became a snake. The magicians and sorcerers of Pharaoh came. We can also do it. They threw the rod, it became a snake. When Moses went and he struck the water, it became blood. It says that the magicians and the sorcerers, the wise men of Egypt, did so with their enchantments, copied what Moses was doing. And Pharaoh said, Moses, you are doing something that we also do, so I will not let you go. When Moses went and struck the waters of Egypt, frogs came out of the waters of Egypt. They also brought frogs from the waters of Egypt. So, believers, listen to me very carefully. You have to understand that the way Holy Spirit operates through you, there is a counterfeit that exists of the same things in the demonic kingdom. And that is where discernment is needed. Now, to bring a very, very profound division, Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church of Corinthians. Okay? Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church of Corinthians, because when you will look at the church of Corinthians, that is where Apostle Paul started to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit to them. Now, you got to realize that Apostle Paul was not talking to them about the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they were growing in the Lord. But Apostle Paul was talking to them about the gifts of the Holy Spirit because he was making a distinction through the doctrine of the word to make a segregation between the gifts of God and the gifts that they used to operate when they used to worship idols. So when they used to worship idols, they used to operate in those gifts. When they became Christians, they started to operate in some gifts, but there was no distinction through which spirit that they are operating, through which spirit they are operating. So we will come to that, and then I will elaborate and start to tell you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that you may realize what gifts that you carry. Okay, so first of all, let me start off with 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Now look at the emphasis of this chapter, that Apostle Paul, the letter that Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinthians. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Gifts is in italic fonts in your Bible, in my Bible, italic fonts, like the slant fonts. That means gifts was not there. It was included to give context to what, in English, to what he is writing. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, remove gifts, it becomes now concerning spirituality. Because these guys, the people of Corinthians, were spiritual people. You know, spiritual people, not about the things, the spiritual things of God, but the spiritual things of the darker side, of the enemy. They were spiritual people. So Apostle Paul is, first of all, making it clear that I am talking to you about spirituality. What he's talking, he says, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Okay? So, they were what? Carried away by the spirits of idols. They were carried away by the spirit of other gods. And it says, however you were led. So, they were led. Like the Holy Spirit leads you, the spirit of the idols were leading them. So, he is making a differentiation now. Do we understand the scripture? However you were led by them, the demons were leading you. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Are we together? So he is now making a distinction between a demonic spirit and the Holy Spirit, trying to teach them and teach them the difference, because they are operating in the gifts that look like the Holy Spirit through other demonic spirits. Okay. Then it says, verse number 4, there are diversities of gift. Now look at this scripture. I will read from verse number 4 to verse number 11. And underline some things if you have a pen. Underline some things that I say to you. Okay? Verse number 4 to verse number 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Underline the same Spirit. Underline the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Underline the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God. Underline same God. That is one God, one Lord, one Spirit. Okay? Who works all in all. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Underline same Spirit, please. The word of knowledge, the second gift of the Holy Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Underline same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit. Underline one and the same Spirit. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. How many of you have underlined those things? How many lines that you have made? How many? Count and tell me. How many lines did you make there? Anyone? How many lines did you make there on the Bible? People are not following my instructions here. Yeah? Are you following the instructions? Okay, let it be. So.
Yes, it is.
How many?
Yeah, we're following. It's about 7. But because you can't go one, you can't underline it one after the next in your iPhone. Only in the Bible.
Only Sister K. Okay, some of you are doing it. How many times 7? Okay, let's take roughly 7 times you underline. That the same Spirit. So you got to understand the context and why Apostle Paul is writing the letter. That is what you have to understand. He is writing the letter to emphasize that it is the same Spirit, one Lord, same Spirit, to make it clear that the gifts that God gives is not the gifts that you were operating before when you were led by different spirits. By different spirit. Now there comes the difference. Now many of I am asking you to do these things because you are many Christians fail in discerning the gifts of God and the gifts of the devil. A person may come and say, I am a prophet, I am this, I am that, and he operates in some gifts and you are fascinated. You start to receive his word. You start to spiritually feast with him or with her at her or his table. Start to receive the teaching and the doctrines. And that is how multitudes of Christians are now being led to hell by a false doctrine and by doctrine of demons because they cannot discern gifts. That's why I'm asking you to listen to me carefully what I'm teaching tonight. How to discern? That is the difference. When a person operates, it will look similar, but you need to have the revelation of the of God's word, of God's knowledge, of the understanding of God to discern between a person who is operating by the word of wisdom. Is that word of wisdom from a demonic spirit or is that word of wisdom from the Holy Spirit? Do we understand that? When a person operates in word of knowledge, now many of the people might not know what is word of wisdom, what is word of knowledge, how to differentiate. I will come to that. Is the word of wisdom or word of knowledge from the demonic spirit or is that word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit? Now, the main difference, the main emphasis that Apostle Paul is laying upon in this letter to the Church of Corinthians, he is telling them that the gifts that come from God, it comes from only one Spirit. And one Spirit, the same Lord, distributes the gifts. There is diversities of giftings, ministries, and activities. Three things are there. I don't have time to go into ministry is what I am doing. Ministry, the apostolic, I am teaching you. That is ministry. When we come on a Saturday or come anytime, come together and pray. We say it's an intercession prayer. That's an activity. When if I God shows me something and then I speak it, maybe a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, I speak it, minister to someone, that is a gift. So there are diversities of ministration, ministry, activity, and the gifts that is upon a person. But everything is given by one Spirit. So if everything is given by one Spirit, the vision and the purpose towards which the gift, the ministry, and the activity is given is the same. The purpose is the same. What is the purpose? The purpose of the gifts is to reveal Christ to people. And the purpose of the gifts is to lead a person to Christ and establish a person more and more in his salvation. That, so if there is one Spirit, the purpose of the Spirit will be the same who distributes several gifts. But in the demonic kingdom, there is no purpose whatsoever. Let me use an example to you. So you are studying, let's say you are studying biology. Okay? We are a group of students who are studying what? Let's say we are studying biology. We are in the class and we are studying biology. And there is only one teacher who comes and spends time with us, takes the book and teaches us every day. Then he checks on us. And because he wants us to be successful biologists or successful in the biotechnology world or successful doctors, whatever. That's why he comes and teaches us. But on the other hand, let's say that there is not one teacher. 15 to 20 different teachers come every day. So one teacher says, okay, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. And the next day, another teacher appears. And the next teacher says, oh, no, we say, oh, we learned this. He said, no. Forget about those things. This is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. He teaches on a different track. The third day, another teacher comes and they teach on a different track. So there is no direction. There is not a destination we are going towards. We are all confused. We are learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. That is how the people of the age are. That is how some of the Christians who are deceived have become. They are learning and learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth.
Amen. Okay. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. So, stay with me. So, keep this scripture in mind and keep this what I said. And turn with me to the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter number. Turn with me to Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now listen to this, what the Bible is saying now. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, but such from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is what I am saying. Everyone say always learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Everyone say that. Always learning. always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Why does that happen? I will tell you why it happens. Because the same teacher is not teaching you. Different teachers are teaching you. Do we understand now? The one spirit, the only one spirit, if he teaches you, you will have a direction. You will have a purpose. You will know, okay, this is the intention of my teacher. But if different teachers come and impart on you and teach you, you are directionless. So you are learning many things, but you are learning from this and that and this and that and this and that. You never come to the knowledge of truth. Through your learning, you never have a purpose. Hallelujah. If you, people of God, if you are understanding what I'm saying, say amen.
Hallelujah.
If you understand that.
Amen.
You have to understand that it's the same Lord. And if he teaches me, if he teaches you, if he is giving me the gifts, giving you the gifts, all our gifts will cater to the same purpose. It will never happen that I am catering to some other agenda and you are catering to some another agenda. If I use my gifts, if I am gifted, if you are gifted, someone else is gifted. When we use our gifts, the purpose is to lead people, establish people in the doctrine of the Word of God. Lead people to Christ. That is the purpose of the gifts of God. Are we understanding? Listen to me, after listening to these teachings, you will be able to discern, believers. You will be able to discern when a person is ministering a gift. Is it from a demonic spirit or is it from the Holy Spirit? When the gift is from the Holy Spirit, there will be a direction after you are ministered with that gift in your life. There will be a purpose that will be unveiled. There will be a message through the gift. Now, I will start to talk about those things when we come to the explanation of the each gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, 9 gifts are mentioned there, but there are not only 9 gifts. There are also other gifts mentioned in other scriptures. So let's not go dive into that, but let us understand that we are living in a generation where Christianity, Christian people are learning and learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, never becoming mature. They are still babies. Oh, I'm learning this book. I'm going to this seminar. I'm doing this. I'm going to that prophet, this prophet, that prophet. Wait. Are you hearing God for yourself? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? Are you stable? Are you consistent? Do you have victory? One of the things I want to ask people, if they say, I'm doing this, I'm doing this course, I'm doing that course, I'm doing the prophetic school, I paid some dollars there, I'm doing the divinity degree, I'm doing this course, I'm this, the other. One thing, you are doing so many learnings. One thing I want to ask you, in your personal life, do you have victory over sin? Are you walking in victory in your secret life? Do you have victory over secret sins? Do you have victory over your flesh? To your amazement, these people don't have victory over sin, don't have victory over flesh, but they are learning. What they are learning? They are operating in activities. They are doing activities, but it's not from God. It's from different kinds of spirit. So that is where Apostle Paul is teaching the church of. Do we now understand that scripture a little bit? That chapter number 12, what Apostle Paul is saying? Same spirit, one Lord, same spirit. Again and again he's saying. I told you to underline those things for you to have a look how many times he is saying that in the scripture, for you to know the emphasis of the chapter, why he is writing that letter, that part of the letter. Because the church of Corinthians were this people who always want to learn new things, go here and there. They are not sort of satisfied by the Bible. So some people say, oh, brother, some pastors tell me, oh, if you want to know, if you want to have net information about this and about that, you know what? Start watching Netflix. What nonsense. Start watching Netflix. Start watching that movie. secular movie. Once in a meeting I was praying, and then I said, there is someone in this meeting who is watching horror movies. And because of you watching the horror movies, I see demons that are upon you, that are tormenting you, that are causing problems in your life. Because those demons that I see around you, I see they came through the horror movies. So I asked, who is that person? No one answered, as if everyone in the meeting was holy. After the meeting got ended, after 2 days, one of the ladies who was in the meeting called me. See, brother, how are you? I said, yeah, I'm fine. Praise the Lord. How are you? I want to tell you something. I was the person who was watching horror movies. I said, okay, why didn't you tell? No, I did not tell. But now I was the person who was watching horror movies. I said, why do you watch horror movies? She, you know what she said? Because I want to learn about demons. I want to learn about how to cast out demons. That's why she watches horror movies. Mm-hmm. Going to different kinds of sources. The only source, I want to make a statement that cannot be changed. The only source where you can receive God's wisdom is the word of God and nothing else. The Bible.
Amen.
The Bible. The only source is the Bible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. When you have experiences, when you have visions, when you have dreams, everything has to be related to the scripture. Because the Bible was written not through theoretical perspective. The Bible was written through experiential perspective. The realities of God was encapsulated in a book. The realities, the mysteries, the things of God were encapsulated in this book. So if I encounter a reality of God through an encounter, through a vision, the Holy Spirit will lead me to come and check that out in the Bible. It will match with the Bible if it was with God, because all the realities of God are there in this Bible. You don't have to watch a horror movie. You don't have to watch Netflix. I want to know. Some pastors are saying, if you want to understand about end times, go and watch Netflix. What nonsense. On Netflix, it's all the demonic agendas that are being propagated on the Netflix. Now, this is the reason why Christians are saying, we are learning, we know this, we know that, but they never come to the knowledge of truth. Do we understand that statement now? They are always learning, Apostle Paul says, but never come to the knowledge of truth. Okay, let's go ahead with that scripture. We were on 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It says, what? Verse number 7, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. Verse number 8. Okay. Now this verse number 8, this is also in relation to, now these are the kinds of people who operate in demonic gifts. Verse number 8, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. Who are Jannes and Jambres? Jannes and Jambres, remember the sorcerers and the magicians? The Jannes and Jambres were the priest, or the leader, you can say, of those wise men of Egypt who used to operate in demonic giftings. So Apostle Paul is comparing these kind of people, these kind of believers to who? He says like Jannes and Jambres. So there are Apostle Paul, not in today's age, but in the early church, there were people right in the church who used to operate in demonic gifts. There were leaders, there were pastors, so-called prophets, apostles, who used to operate in demonic gifts. Apostle Paul is talking about such kind of people. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Yes, also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, and their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
How will they be exposed when believers have no understanding about the word? Once they see a person, a prophet came and said, you know what, I see you on Monday, you drove your red car and your car was a Toyota. Man of God, you know everything. And you start to follow the man of God because he told you something that you suppose that he did not know, but God revealed to him. So how will you expose this Jains and Jambres if an average believer does not has only any knowledge about discerning the gifts, whether it is of demons or whether it is from the Holy Spirit? Are we understanding that? We will come to that. When I start to speak on the gifts, I will start to tell you the differentiation, how to differentiate. And the Holy Spirit is making you very, very simple for you so that you will be able to differentiate between from where the source of the gifts are coming. So it says, now Jains and Jambres resisted Moses. You know, these people are resisting true servants of God in the church now. It says they resisted Moses and so do these also resist the truth of the word of God. These kind of people, they have corrupt minds. They are disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But what we need to do, what a man of God, what a believer needs to do, it says, verse number 10, but you have carefully followed my faith. This is to Timothy. You have carefully followed my faith, doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Underline that word and memorize that word. What it says? All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will what? Will suffer persecution. Will suffer persecution. Okay, you don't like that word. Okay, but that's the truth. Let's go ahead. Verse number 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What it says? Evil men, you says, if God is there, brother, why these false prophets are not destroyed? Bible says these evil men will grow more and more evil, more and more worse. The times are coming. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Don't look at the evil men. Don't look at what they are doing. What you have to concentrate on? The Bible. Meditate on the Holy Scriptures. Give your life to them. Okay. Verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, in all these letters, Apostle Paul's emphasis, foundation is what? The scripture. So every gift shall be defined by the scripture. Every manifestation of the gift shall be defined by the Holy Scripture, shall be defined by the Bible. All right. Okay. Now I think now I am ready to go to the gifts. Do we now understand the foundation of what we are going into? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. So do we now understand that? Remember the example of one teacher and several other teachers. Everyone coming and teaching different things on the same subject. You have no direction. You are going nowhere. But when the same teacher teaches you, imparts on you the knowledge that teacher has, he will lead you. He will lead you. Remember what Jesus said? I am going to the Father, but the Helper will come. So what he is saying is the syllabus will be taken over by a teacher. But he and me are one. That teacher will talk about me and bring to your remembrance all the things that I told you. Okay? It's the same teacher. He will talk about me. So, in a church, We know that the church is in sync with the Holy Spirit. The members there are in sync with the Holy Spirit. When I am saying something and the next person who is supposed to speak, let's say there are two speakers, yeah, or three speakers here, that kind of meeting we are having. I am saying something from the Lord. And then the next person who comes, he continues with that flow. Are we understanding? Because he is hearing from the same Lord. He continues with that flow. He comes, stands on the stage and says, you know what? I am amazed because what God told me is the continuation of what this man, what apostle was speaking. And I believe God wants to continue on this. So he is hearing from the, that is how we know that the Spirit of God is flowing and people are in sync with the Holy Spirit in the church. Are we together? So I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is saying, I taught you some things, but a teacher is coming. He will continue on those subjects. And he will glorify me. Hallelujah. People of God, can you say an amen? Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
He will continue on those subjects. So it will be a flow. It will be a continuation. So he will glorify me. He will speak of me. He will bring to your remembrance what I told you. He will lead you into all truth. The way he will teach you. So Jesus' teaching ministry was like, I am teaching you. I can speak and teach you. I cannot lead you into the reality of the truth. I can bring to your mind to enlightenment by the revelations of the word of God. That is how Jesus taught the disciples. He used to speak. He used to teach them. But Jesus is saying this teacher will teach. He has the ability of not giving you theoretical knowledge, but this teacher who is coming has the ability to give you experiential knowledge. He will lead you into the reality of truth. Hallelujah. That's how wonderful the Holy Spirit is. That's how wonderful he is. If he wants to teach you, if he wants to teach you consecration, he will not teach you through theory. Like I am teaching, I can teach you through the revelation. What he will do to you, he will put you in a situation where he will torment, he will allow your flesh to be tormented, your ego, your pride to break down, and then he will let you to be more humble before God, and then he will tell you all these things that happened to you, that is consecration. So he puts you into the reality of the, he lead you into all truth. He is not a theoretical teacher. He is an experiential teacher. He is the teacher of the practical class. Hallelujah. When you learn biology, the teacher will come and teach you the theory, but then they will take you to the biology laboratory and they will put a frog before you. They will tell, okay, cut this frog. That is experiential knowledge. You learned about the frog, the part of the frog, the lungs of the frog, how the frog breeds, and why you see the neck of the frog bloating and coming back, contracting and expanding, and all those things. You learn that in the book. Now in this laboratory, you need to have the experience. So they will give a frog to you, give the equipment, say, cut the frog, remove this part of the frog, remove that part of the frog. That is experiential knowledge. Hallelujah. Okay, that is any which ways I'm talking to you about how the Spirit of God moves. How the Spirit of God moves, you know, in a church. That is why Apostle Paul was writing that letter to that church of Corinthians, because there was a lot of confusion. One person will say, come and prophesy something. The next person who would come and prophesy was completely something different. So one person is going that direction. Another person in the church is going in that direction. One person is speaking in some kinds of tongues that no one knows. Another person is speaking in another kind of tongues that no one knows. That's why he writes the letter to the church of Corinthians, to bring order in the church, to tell them that you have to operate in one spirit, bro. You have to operate in one spirit, boys. You have to understand that you are still operating in demonic gifts. That's why one person is saying something else. Another person is saying something else. He is prophesying something else. And they, you are saying that we have gifts of God. No, that those are not gifts of God. If you have the gifts of God, there should be order. That's why Apostle Paul writes to them. Do we now understand? But so many pastors take that scripture and tell people you should not speak in tongues. They don't understand the context. They take it literally. No. The Bible says don't speak in tongues until you have an interpreter. You have to understand to what kind of people Apostle Paul is talking about. The tongues. Because there was chaos in the church. Everyone operating in different spirits. Hallelujah. Okay. So now when we know about what is happening and why Apostle Paul wrote that letter, let's go to the gift of wisdom. Let's come back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. First Corinthians chapter number 12. Let's see verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Everyone say the word of wisdom. Everyone say the word of wisdom. Hallelujah.
Word of wisdom.
What is the word of wisdom? What is this gift called, which is called the word of wisdom? Okay, let me tell you. There are several definitions that will be used to explain this word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is providing God's solution for a physical problem. Word of wisdom is providing, that's the simplest definition, God's solution for a physical problem. Also providing an answer that answers multiple questions. Word of wisdom is providing one answer for multiple questions. Okay. So many people may come to me, brother, I have many questions. I said, okay, start to say one by one. Okay, why this? Why that? Around 9 to 10 questions. So, okay, I said, I think I can't answer. Let me pray. When I pray, I get a word. When I tell them that word, it answers all the 20 questions they have. That has happened. And even before they asked the question, once I went to this family in Mumbai, at a place in Mumbai, and I went there. They did not. I said, when I entered their house, I said, let us pray. So I started to pray. And then God gave me some scripture and God gave me a word. Through that scripture, I said, this is the word. This is what God is speaking to you. And then I ministered prayer and all those things. And the meeting ended. So that couple, the husband and wife, came. He opened the book. The man opened the book. And he showed me, brother, see these questions I had. I wanted to ask you all these questions when you will come. But after what you said, all these questions got answered. What is that? The word of wisdom. One answer can answer the multiple questions. So you say one word. You might think, okay, we have to sit and solve all the questions. No, God gives you a word, a revelation. That one word of wisdom can answer all the questions. I'm telling you, it's supernatural. So that guy told me, I don't have to waste your time. What you said answered all my questions. Now I don't have any questions. So that is the word of wisdom. What is word of wisdom? Providing God's solution for a physical problem, or provides an answer to multiple questions. It's simply the wisdom of God. Listen to me. The wisdom of God, which is God's instruction to mankind. Now I have taken a series on wisdom, where I have told the definition of wisdom is God's instruction to you. That is the word of wisdom. I mean, you can't go through something that is going on in your life. You need to have instructions. when God starts to instruct you, you know, like I instructed you, okay, underline this verse. That was an instruction. When God starts to instruct you, that instruction is actually words of wisdom. If you apply them, you will rise. That I am telling you, word of wisdom is powerful. Every believer shall long for that gift. Word of wisdom, powerful gift. So what did I say? I said, word of wisdom is providing God's solution for a physical problem. That's the simplest definition I can give you. God's solution to a physical problem or provides an answer that will answer multiple questions. And the wisdom of God, which is instruction to mankind, which is God's instruction to what? Mankind. Okay, let me take you. There are many, many, many examples from the Bible of the word of wisdom. From the Old Testament, from the New Testament. But I picked some of them to bring it to this message. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Let's go there. 2 Kings. Chapter number 6. Verse number 1 to 7. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Verse number 1 to 7. And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." So he answered, "Go." Then one said, "Please consent to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So there was a genuine problem. Now the problem is a simple physical problem that one can face in daily life. What happened? The iron axe with which they were cutting the tree, the axe head fell into the water. You know, iron has the density of iron or the weight of iron, the mass of iron, whatever, scientifically it's weighty. So it goes down deep in the water. How will he bring it out? So to bring it out, he did not go to someone who is expert in going deep, diving deep into the water and bringing out things. He went to the prophet. He went to Elisha. He said, "Alas, master, this is the problem I am facing. And the axe head was borrowed. So I am worried. It was borrowed. It is someone else's." Hallelujah. Okay. So the man of God, verse number 6. The man of God said, now this is word of wisdom, okay? Look at this. So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there. And he made the iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. How can that happen? That is a listen to me. That is a word of wisdom. What he did was, how that cannot happen scientifically. It was the supernatural of God that made the iron axe head float on the water. Because there is a message hidden in what Elisha was doing. Now this is I will come to the differentiation. When you want to differentiate, the word of wisdom also is available in the demonic kingdom. Okay? And the word of wisdom is there in God's kingdom. Now, the stick, the piece of wood that he cut and put it in the water signifies the cross of Jesus Christ on which he died. He took a piece of wood, a stick, and cut it off and put it in the water. When he put it in the water, the thing that was lost was restored back. Which shows when Jesus will die on the cross, the one which was lost through his death, you who are lost, can be restored back and can be brought back. That is when God, listen to me. When God allows a person to operate in the gift of word of wisdom, there will be always a revelation in the operation of the gift. There will be always a message, and the message will glorify Jesus Christ. And the message will make the person know what Jesus did for that person when we operate in the gift of the word of wisdom. Can you say amen if you are there? Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Word of wisdom. Amen. Stay with me. What Elisha did was not normal, was not something magic. What Elisha did was a revelation of what Christ will do. He will restore that which was lost back. He will restore that which was lost. And why Elisha helped this man? Because that man was humble enough to acknowledge, to say, Master, the axe head that fell into the water, it's not mine, it is someone else's. So that signifies how your life can be restored. When you say, Lord, my life that I have, it's not my own, I don't own it, it's yours. And when you acknowledge that, the cross, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, will bring back your life out of the depths of water and restore you again. That was the message that was hidden in that. Are we understanding that now? In that operation of the word of wisdom. Now, let me give you more examples. So, I want to show you, when God gives you a word of wisdom, and when you put it to use, your gift will always give the message to the person about Christ and about what Jesus did for that person on the cross. When you operate in the gift of the word of wisdom, that gift will always glorify Christ. That is one of the things through which you will recognize that the person who is operating in the gift of the word of wisdom is operating through the Spirit of God, is operating through the one Spirit. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1. Now let's see the gift of the word of wisdom in this passage of scripture. Verse number 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you now know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Now, another daily life physical problem. Another domestic problem of debts. You see, what did I say? The definition of the gift of wisdom is providing God's solution to a physical problem. So she was worried because the husband died. He took debts. The debtors are coming, going to take the sons because she has no money to pay them. So she came with that problem to Elisha. What does Elisha say? Now I want to bring you the definition of God's, the gift of word of wisdom from this, what Elisha is doing. So Elisha said to her, What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Now this is how the gift of wisdom is operating. It's locating the hidden solution to a physical problem, a solution to which your eyes were closed, that was with you, that you did not recognize to be a solution to your problem. But when the word of wisdom came, that which was with you already and which was the solution, your eyes opened up because of the gift of the word of wisdom, and you recognized, okay, this can solve my problem. There is a message that is revealed in that. It says, the stones which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
The stones. Hallelujah. So Princess Knowles got it. I understood. She got the revelation. The stones that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstones. The thing, the object, or the person you most ignored, that one became the deliverer of Israel. What was there in your house? What is there? Jar of oil, but I never considered it, because it's a little jar with some oil. That will be your savior. Use it. Word of wisdom. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? Hallelujah. Okay. I am explaining you what is the gift of the word of wisdom. What is the gift of the word of... Whenever you operate in the gift of the word of wisdom, there will be a message in your gift. There will be a sermon in your gift. There will be a revelation in your gift, which will be passed on to the next person when you operate in it. Hallelujah. So that is the gift of the word of wisdom. Now, I have taken this sermon on this chapter, 2 Kings chapter number 4. What Elisha operated in was the seven spirits, or the seven dimensions of the Spirit of God. The spirit of wisdom and understanding was when he located the hidden solution. He said, "Where do you have something?" She said, "The jar of oil." He said, "Right, that is the Savior. Use that." That is the spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of wisdom, gift of wisdom. Then the next, he operated in the spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. So let me not go into that. I have taken a sermon where I think I have explained the seven spirits of God, the seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit, wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, and knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. So after what he does with the jar of oil is counsel and might, knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. If I go into that, it will take a lot of time. But I am explaining the first gift that Apostle Paul mentions to the Church of Corinthians, the gift of wisdom. And I am showing to you that God, when the gift of wisdom is operated from the Holy Spirit, not from a demonic spirit, it will always have a message in it that will glorify Christ, that will reveal Christ to a person. Hallelujah.
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 Okay, let me show you the gift of wisdom operated by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ operated in all the gifts. Our Lord and Savior operated in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So let me show you from the scripture how Jesus operated in this gift of wisdom. Turn with me to Mark chapter number 12. Turn with me to Mark chapter number 12. And verse number 13 onwards. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 13 onwards. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, "Teacher," now these are the critics who want to trap Jesus, to make him say something, you know, to ask him questions to trap him. I don't know about you, but people have come in my life with an intention to trap me by asking me some questions so that they can catch me by some words. I don't know. The Spirit of God gave some answers to them that I did not get trapped in the words. They themselves got trapped in their own words when I answered them. That is how the gift of wisdom will give you the supernatural ability to answer your critics, to answer those who want to trap you in questions. Yes, the gift of wisdom. So what is happening here? Verse number 14 says, they wanted to catch him in his words. Verse number 13, verse number 14 says, when they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them. So they thought this question that we will throw at him, Because if he says no, you need to pay taxes to you don't need to pay taxes to Caesar, they will catch him. Oh, this person is provoking people not to submit to the government. And if he says, two ways, they thought both the ways he answers the question, he will be trapped. But let's see what Jesus did. Let's see what Jesus said. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." So they brought it, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Hallelujah. Wow. The wisdom. That is the gift. That is the word of wisdom. So the word of wisdom does not only bring solution for people who need help, but the word of wisdom can destroy the critics, destroy those who want to try. You need to have the word of wisdom to answer them, because many people are searching for words that you will say, through which they will say, "Oh, this person is like this, this person says like this, this person says like that." So he said, Jesus said, "Whose inscription is this on the coin?" They said, "Caesar." So give to the government what you have to pay to the government, and give to God what you have to give to God, because they wanted to trap Jesus, saying, "Oh, we won't give to the government, not to the temple," and all those stuff. He said, "You give to the government what is due to the government, and give to God what is due to God." Then let's see another thing here. Then some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him, and they asked him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all the women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife." Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken.'" So the word of wisdom is based upon the knowledge of the realities of heaven and of the scripture that Jesus has. You cannot operate in word of wisdom until you are thoroughly grounded in the doctrine of the word of God. In the doctrine of the word of God, in the realities. I told you, those who have joined afterwards, that the Bible is not a theoretical book. The Bible is a capturing of the realities, experiential realities of the things of God into a book. So whenever we have an experience that we call an encounter of vision, that has to align with the written experience, experiential book. So Jesus answered them and answered that question so well. Why? Because he knew the reality of heaven. He knew that there is no marriage, no this, no. And he said, God is not the God of the dead. God is the God of the living. So you will not be in the same state with the same relationships as you were on earth. It will not be the same in heaven. The word of wisdom. Hallelujah. Are we understanding the word of wisdom? It's providing God's solution for a physical problem, providing one answer for multiple questions. Hallelujah. One answer. Many times it happened, I spoke something and they had questions written on their, they said, "I was going to talk with you, Apostle, after our meeting, but I do not want to talk because what you said answered all the questions on my paper." So one answer to multiple questions. Word of wisdom. That is how word of wisdom operates. Then the God's instruction to mankind, that is another definition. Then another definition I showed you from the scripture is locating the hidden solution that was hidden from your eyes to the problem. Okay, hallelujah. So now coming to the very, 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 very important part. How to differentiate between God's gift of the word of wisdom and the demonic gift of the word of wisdom. Because there is the demonic gift of the word of wisdom that operates. You go to a prophet and you say, you know what? The prophet will say, don't say anything. I know what you are going through. I know that you are going through a financial problem. From many years, you are in debts, this and that. That is word of knowledge. I will come to the word of knowledge after this. So he has the knowing ability of what already happens. So, but I have a solution for you. He will tell you, for 7 days in the month of July, this month, for 7 days, you take this soap and bath with it for 7 days. After you bath with it for 7 days, on the seventh day, you visit the sea and stand by the sea. And on the eighth day, you go into the ocean water and bath with it, and you will get your solution. That is the kind of word of wisdom that the prophet gave you, which is not from the Holy Spirit. Which is not from the Holy Spirit. Because it nowhere gives a message. Now, listen to me. I am differentiating. I am giving you 3 points to differentiate whether the gift of wisdom is from a demonic spirit or from the Holy Spirit. Okay? For those who have joined afterwards, I have given some crucial revelation at the beginning of the meeting, how to differentiate. Okay? So you can get the sermon afterwards when I post it and listen to it. So you might have a better understanding. But listen to me what I'm saying now. I am giving you 3 points of differentiation between the demonic gift of the word of wisdom and the gift of the word of wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. The first differentiation is the demonic gift of wisdom is a meaningless ritual. Write it down. The demonic gift of wisdom is a what? Meaningless ritual to bring the desired result. Whereas God's gift of wisdom has a message and a meaning for the person to reveal Christ to him. Okay? The demonic gift of wisdom is a meaningless ritual to bring the desired result. Whereas God's gift of wisdom has a message and a meaning of the person revealing Christ. A pastor comes to the pulpit and says, by tomorrow, all the men, the coming Sunday, all the men will wear black, all the women will wear red, and you will come. Because God has told me, when you wear black and when you wear red, all the marriages will be restored when you do that. There is nothing like that. I mean, the out of the blues, it is a demonic spirit that gave them a word of wisdom to do some ritual. Meaningless ritual, which has no revealing of Christ. Are we understanding? So when you get such words of wisdom to which the Holy Spirit in you and the word of the Bible that you have read does not align to that word of wisdom, they are operating by a demonic gift of the word of wisdom. Because the demonic gift of the word of wisdom is what? Is a meaningless ritual only to get a desired result. Yes, but God's gift is not only to produce something that you desire, the result that you desire. God's gift of the word of wisdom has a message revealing Christ to the person. Are we together until now? Hallelujah.
Amen.
After you have thoroughly gone through the series that I am teaching now, you will be able 100%, if you get it right, you will be able to very easily discern between the gifts of demonic spirits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, stay with me. So that is the first differentiation I want to give you. The second differentiation is the demonic gift leaves the person confused and directionless. The demonic gift leaves the person confused and directionless, but God's gift leads and directs a person close to God and to discover the purpose of God. Now listen to me. Remember the example I told you in the beginning, how in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, Apostle Paul multiple times is writing the same Spirit gives this gift, the same Spirit. So the subject on which someone is mentoring you is the same teacher. So when the same teacher teaches you, the same teacher teaches you on the same subject, comes, okay, when she comes the next day, she says, yesterday what I taught you, have you gone through it? Have you? So the same teacher can give you attention and knows your progress, knows where you are going. So when you are under the same tutor, you will have a direction, you will have a purpose, you will know how to be successful, where to go, because the same teacher. But on the same subject, if every day different kinds of teacher are coming and telling you this, that, the next teacher comes, no, not that one, this one, you will be directionless. That is how many Christians have become. They go to one prophet, they don't get solution. They go to another prophet, that prophet says something, no, not like this, like that. They don't get solution, they go to another prophet. They are going and they are getting words of wisdom for them, but they are directionless in their life because they are going to different tutors having different spirits. So different spirits leading in different ways and their life is directionless. You are seeking and you are connecting to a demonic gift of wisdom. That's why even after you are being ministered with the gift of wisdom, words of solution for your problem, your life is confused. Your life is directionless. But when a person operates through the gift of wisdom by God, your life will have a direction. You will have peace. You will discover the purpose of God. You will discover the archives. The purposes, the mysteries that God has for your life in the archives of God. Are we understanding? The demonic gift of wisdom leaves the person confused and directionless. But God's gift leads and directs a person close to God and to discover God's purposes. If we are here until now, say amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. The third difference, the demonic gift puts the person in bondage and traps them in a circle to seek for more rituals. But God's wisdom delivers a person and shifts them into a new season to journey with God. Let me show you the demonic gift, God's gift. When you are ministered by a demonic gift of wisdom, what that gift of wisdom will do is start to draw a circle around you. You use the soap and you did that, you went to the ocean for bath, and out of 100% of your debts, 10% got nullified, 90%. And then you go to the prophet and you say, prophet, you know what? Yeah, that worked out for me, but all my debts are not nullified, only 10% of it. The prophet will say tell you, you need to do something else. He will introduce you to another ritual. So slowly, what the demonic gift of wisdom is doing to a person is putting the person in a prison. Again and again, it will make you seek that power, that gift. Again and again, you have to go to that gift. I was ministering. My mother were ministering to a Hindu family. They are not Christians, but we have ministered the gospel to them, told them about Jesus Christ, asked them to leave idol worship, but it's their choice. But however, whenever they are sick, we minister to them and God heals them by His mercy. So again, this lady fell sick. And very sick, very, very sick. And she did not contacted us for a long time. When we got in contact with her, asking her, where were you? And she was crying because she was very sick. And then after inquiring, we found out because she was sick and she did not felt like coming, approaching us. She went to a Muslim priest. She went to a Muslim priest. And the Muslim priest introduced her to some words of wisdom. The Muslim priest told her, take this black threads and tie it on your hands, on your legs, and on your neck. And not only you, because the Muslim priest told her that I see this sickness after you, it will come in your husband and your daughter also. And all of you will die if you don't listen to what I say. That is how prophets are deceiving people. Now, I'm talking about a Muslim person, but that is how many Christians prophet talk. So you tie this thing on your hand. So is there any message in that? No, it's a ritual. That is what the word of wisdom in the demonic. So they tied it. And the family tied. And after she came back, you know, there was the problem in her stomach and all. She was not able to pass stools. It became worse. The problem became worse. And so what they think? No, this person only. They went a second time, second visit. He also took some money. They went again for the second time, the second visit to the person. The person said, oh, it became worse, but this ritual worked. That's why it became worse. And someone has done something on you. To break that, you have to perform a second ritual. Take something. So I and my mother made them to tear off those black threads from their body. No, if we tear the black thread, he told us that something worse. I told her, if you trust Jesus, the God I am preaching to you about, you tear those black threads and you put your trust on Jesus. Then they listened and they tore off those threads and they threw off all the occulting things and the things that the person gave, and she got healed. She got healed. She visited the doctor. The doctor said this and that and many negative. I said, don't believe that. She got healed after that. Otherwise, she was on a... So what does the demonic gift of the word of wisdom? It will make you go to that person again and again. Again and again. Again and again. You have no direction. What is happening to you is you are getting into a circle. You are getting into a bondage. You are trapped. You might see temporary results, but it's not all. You are trapped. But God's gift of wisdom sets a person free, delivers the person, and sets a person on in a new season to journey with God. Hallelujah. These are the three differences that you have to look for when a person gives you a word of wisdom. Are we understanding? And I believe it will easily help you to discern. If the pastor tells you, do this, and then after 7 days, come back to me, there you spot out. He's not operating in God. He's trying to encircle you in a bondage. Word of wisdom that God gives is just a word, and through that you get delivered. Through that, a person finds the solution to the problem. Are we understanding that? The gift of the word of wisdom. Let me end here. Hallelujah. The gift of the word of wisdom. And then Sunday night, I will continue on the gift of the word of knowledge. And then we will go to the gift of faith, the gift of healings, the gift of tongues, and the gift of discerning of spirits. And in every gift, I will explain you, like I explained you, what is the gift of the word of wisdom. Many believers don't understand what are these gifts. Explain you what is the gift and then differentiate it from the gift that comes from the devil and the gift that comes from God. Let us end here. Hallelujah. And let us pray. God is releasing revelation knowledge. God is releasing the knowledge of the things of God, things of heaven, so that his people can be empowered with power from on high, with the gifts that he gives. Hallelujah. God is releasing those words in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I pray, Lord, hallelujah. I pray, Lord, for your people, Lord, that your people will understand the seriousness of, I know the seriousness, Lord, of the teaching, this series that I am taking, Lord. And they will give your, Lord, that they would be delivered. They might they might know, O Lord, the knowledge that comes from you, Lord, with which they will be able to dissect and discern and save their lives from wolves, Lord. Save their lives from demonic spirits. And not only that, but they will be able to desire. Lord, I pray that even as I'm teaching on these gifts, that even as I'm teaching, that you will start to, Holy Spirit, give desires to people to seek these gifts. Let your people have the gift of the word of wisdom. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, O Lord. Hallelujah. Even as we embark upon the series, Lord, the next few meetings, Lord, on the other gifts, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, Father, I pray that you will speak to your people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Hallelujah. Raboyam balto razafata yaveto. I just want to thank you for this time, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I cover all your people, their families, Lord, and even those who are not here, Lord. I cover all of them with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. The coming meetings, Lord, this weekend we give into your hands, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you will touch their lives in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. We make this prayer. And we all shout amen.